Good morning. You ever had one of those weeks? One of those weeks where you have a plan, you make a plan, you have your goals, and you say, this is the week I'm going to accomplish this, this, and this. And the end of the week comes and you didn't get any of that done. Well, that was a week for me this week. I had a lot of things I wanted to get done this week, and a touch of the flu and a few other things, and the week came and went, and I'm not quite sure where it went. But boy, it is good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord and worshiping God. Amen. Amen. Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've been covering a topic called, Am I a Christian? And looking at our lives and looking at our relationship with our Savior, and not answering the question is, how do I get saved, or am I saved? But answering the question is, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I a Christian? And I want to remind us with a definition that we decided on, with a little bit of urging from me. Our definition for Christian that we have is a real disciple of Christ, one who believes in the truth of the Christian religion and studies to follow the example and obey the precepts of Christ. A believer in Christ who is characterized by real piety. And again, remember, piety is religious zeal. Someone who is characterized, they're marked by their passion for Jesus Christ. And that is who we want to be. That is who we want to be known as in this community, followers of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to be looking at what is keeping me from being that person. What is keeping me from being a Christian, a real follower of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start by just rereading what Randy had read earlier. I'm going to add a few more verses. We're going to start in Mark 12, verse 28. It says, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing. They had been arguing about whether or not people would be married in heaven. And Jesus had answered them, and so this man came up and had heard them arguing, and he recognized that he had answered them well, and asked Jesus, what commandment is the foremost of all? What's the most important commandment of all of them? And Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. In another account, I think it's Matthew's account of this same passage, Matthew wrote down that he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered that same way. It's the same account of the same conversation, but this is the foremost commandment. Now, as Christians, we are no longer under the law, right? We are no longer under the penalty of the law, and we might look at a verse that says that later on. But Jesus has came and he has taken the penalty for us, right? He has died for our sins if you have accepted him as your Savior. But we are still called to live differently, and we talked about that last week. And we are still called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So this morning, we're going to look at two aspects of that. We're going to look at loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And then next week, we'll finish up with the other three. Love the Lord your God with all of your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so what I did was I included in your notes this morning a little, some circles there to help give an understanding of what does this mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Is that just a bunch of words to say love Him with everything you got? Well, yeah, you could say that. But those words have specific meaning, and so we're going to look at that today. First of all, we want to look at the heart. And the heart is the seat of emotion. Right? The heart is where our emotional decisions are made. And we could go through Scripture and look at all the different references to heart, and we could see that that is the emotion. That is where the emotion takes place. And so the question this morning is, would your attitude this week or on a regular basis, would people say that, wow, he must really love God just based on his attitude alone? As Christians, can our attitude please God? Can it displease God? Absolutely, right? And let me ask you this morning, where are you at in that category? You know, Paul says in Philippians 4:11, he said, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am." That is a hard thing to do. It is hard when you have goals set for yourself and you want to accomplish these things, and distractions get in the way, things come up, people need you for this, that, and the other. And to stop what I'm trying to get accomplished and to say, hey, what can I do to help you? That is a difficult thing to do as a Christian, right? It's a difficult thing for anybody to do. But that is what we're called to do, our attitudes. And sometimes we can let our emotions control us. It was a conversation that I was having with one of my family members this week of controlling your emotions, having control over your circumstances, because, you know, the saying goes, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And you can be a great testimony for Christ by going through hard, difficult situations and coming out with a good attitude. People look at that and, wow, that is amazing. Ladies, let me pick on you for a minute. Sometimes hormones can be overwhelming, and your emotions are the first thing to go. And it can be difficult to control your emotions. But that is what we're called to do. And as a Christian woman, that is a great witness that you can have to your friends, is that when you are going through some tough times with your body, that you take control of your body and say, I am not going to allow my sinful body to control my heavenly attitude. I am going to impact other people for Christ through this area, through my emotions and my attitude. And you can be a great testimony to your family and to your friends. They will notice the difference, I guarantee it. Guys, same question. How are you doing on your attitude? I know for guys, anger is a big issue. Because you expect people to do the things that you ask them to do, and you expect them to do it right away. At least that's what I expect, right? You say, do this, do it right away, and we'll get along fine, right? But when that doesn't happen, that becomes very unnerving, right? And our attitudes quickly go from happy to unhappy. And so as guys, as leaders of the households, that's an area we need to check ourselves every day. Attitude check. I remember when we went to camp. We used to go to Faith Bible Camp when I was a kid, right? It was in Yates City, Illinois, outside of Peoria. And one of the things they always did, before lunch, we'd line up. They'd say, attitude check. And then we would say, boy, are we enthusiastic, H-A-P-P-Y. Right? And if we didn't say it loud enough, they'd say, attitude check. And we'd say, boy, are we enthusiastic, H-A-P-P-Y. And you did it whether you were happy or not, right? And sometimes that's what we're called to do. We're called to just put that hat on of, well, in other words, they say, fake it till you make it, right? Fake it till you make it. If you're not having a good day, just fake it. Just let people pretend that you are. That's okay. Because your Heavenly Father, He's the one that cares, right? The other ones, not so much. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't share in our hurt and share in our tough times that we're going through. We're called to bear each other's burdens, right? But our attitude can be a great testimony, and it can be a great way to show our love for our Savior, because it shows that we trust Him. When we have a good attitude, when we have an attitude that's pleasing to God, hey, I can have things crash and burn down around me. I can have my whole day, you know, this week I was over in one place and I got a phone call and then I was headed to a different place, right? Just like that. And it was like, hey, that's not what I was planning to do today, right? But your attitude can show that you have a greater trust and a greater power than yourself, right? Because I don't know where I'm supposed to be today, but He does. And maybe that change in circumstance, now I have an opportunity to show other people how great my God and Savior is. Maybe I might be able to bring somebody into the kingdom of God today because of this change in circumstance. But if I'm huffing and puffing and trying to blow somebody's house down, that's not going to happen. Second question dealing with the heart is our faith. Sometimes our faith, we struggle, right? Whether it be a circumstance, loss of a loved one, financial circumstances. There's a lot of things that happen in our life, and it's not easy. This world is not easy. And the evil one will throw everything he can at you to keep you from accomplishing your tasks that God has for you, set out for you. And sometimes that can lead in a doubt in our faith. Our faith can stumble. And that is, again, an attitude check. It's a heart check. And I want to read for you a passage in Mark chapter 9. And it's probably a passage you're familiar with. There was a man that brought his son to the disciples when Jesus sent them out. And this disciples couldn't heal him, drive the demon out of this man's son. He was possessed. And so he brought him to Jesus. And I'm going to pick up in verse 21. He asked the father, how long a time has it been since this began? And he said, since he was a child. And a lot of times he'll cast himself into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, saying to Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Have you ever been there? Been in a circumstance where you just cry out to God and said, Lord, if there is anything you can do to help me, please help me right now. I've been there where it's like, you know, you don't have a plan D anymore. It's like, you know, plan A, B, C, that all went by the wayside, and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do anymore. Please help, right? If you can help, please help. Well, Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I do believe. Help my unbelief. And sometimes as believers, we're there. Different circumstances in our lives has brought us to a point where we're saying, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And the Holy Spirit will be there and he'll help us. But if you lack faith, don't put it off. Search your heart. Because a lot of times when we lack faith, it's because there's sin in our lives that has encroached upon our relationship with our Savior and that has caused that doubt. It's because we are not as tight as we need to be with the man upstairs. Next, I want to look at our souls. The soul is our vertical relationship, right? It's our relationship with God. How is your spiritual walk with the Lord this morning? How is your prayer life? Sometimes, again, life can be hard. It can throw a lot of curveballs at us. And it can be easy to put these things to the back burner. The things that are the most important. And our devotional time, our prayer time, a lot of times that's the first thing to go, right? When we get busy, when we get stressed, we stop holding on to the lifeline and we think, oh, we got to figure this out ourselves. But that is not the answer. And this morning I want to look at what are some of the things that might be keeping your prayers from being answered. There's a lot of things as we go through this life and we're praying and we want God to see, we want to see God work in our lives, right? We want to see God work in our church and in our community. And sometimes we see that happen and sometimes we don't. And we have the question of, is there something between me and God? Maybe I don't feel that closeness that I did before. Maybe I'm not really where I need to be. And so I want to look at a few things that might keep us from being heard in our prayer time. The first thing is in James chapter 4, verse 3, selfish desires. If you turn over there, please. James chapter 4, verse 3. He says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may lay the same on your pleasures. Right? We ask God, not for God's sake, not for the kingdom's sake, but we ask because we want. And I'll give you a perfect example of that one from my own life. Right? When I was a kid, and I was probably 9 years old, and I was praying and I said, God, if you're really there, I know you can do anything you want. I know you're so powerful, you can do anything you want. Would you show me that you're there and that you're God by making this toy that I want appear right in front of me? Right? Make this toy appear and I'll know that you're God. Because I'll have that toy to play with now, right? I was selfish in my desires. I wasn't saying, God, please help my neighbor. It wasn't saying, God, please help my family. I was saying, God, give me this toy to play with, and I'll praise your name, right? And a lot of times we have that same attitude towards God. The sugar daddy attitude, right? He's my sugar daddy, and he'll just do whatever I want him to. And he'll just pick up the tab. And a lot of times that was what we want out of God. We want God to provide our needs and our desires and then not expect a whole lot after that. But that's not the way it works. And a lot of times, our prayers can be hindered because of our selfish desires. Next is our unconfessed sin in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord can save or hear anybody who wants to. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has murmured iniquity. And we could go on. But if we have unconfessed sin in our life, God cannot hear our prayers. And so that's something where we need to examine our own hearts and our own lives. And that's why David called out, search my heart, O God. Search my heart, O God, and let me know if there's any wicked way within me. Right? Because he did not want his prayers to be hindered. He did not want his prayers to be unheard from his God. And we need to pray that prayer ourselves this week. Is search my heart, O God, and let me know if there's any area in my life that I need to get right with you, so that you can hear me and that we can regain that fellowship. The next one is idolatry of the heart, Ezekiel 14:3. Verse 2 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I, being required to answer them? Sometimes we don't have Baal, right? We don't have Baal on our mantle where we go over there, and right? We don't have that. But we have idols in our hearts. What's an idol? It's anything that you've placed in front of God. God is to be number one in our lives. And if there's anything, it could be work, it could be entertainment, it could be anything. You know what it is. If there's anything before God in your life, it's an idol. And God will not hear your prayers if you are worshiping an idol instead of him. If you are putting anything in front of him, you're not going to get your prayers answered. And so we need to be examining our hearts again, that we are not committing idolatry in our heart and fooling ourselves. The next one is lack of generosity for the poor in Proverbs 21:13. I'm not going to read that. There's a lot of verses throughout Scripture that talk about how we need to be helping the poor. But how about unforgiveness? That can be a hard one to do. Turn to Mark 11:25. But when ye shall stand and pray, forgive, if you have anything against any man, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. You know, there was my dad used to be a pastor over in Illinois. And in one of the churches that he was a pastor at, there was a family. And they lived very close together. Brothers and father, you know, he had a farm, they had a farm, you know, the sons had their own farms. And they were very close together. Some of the family wouldn't talk to the other part of the family. There was a rift there. It went on for 15 years. The father wouldn't talk to his grandchildren, wouldn't talk to his son, despised him because of unforgiveness. It wasn't really that big of a deal. The issue that they were fighting over was petty. But because their hearts were so unforgiving, they couldn't bring themselves to say, "Hey, I'm wrong. Please forgive me." Or, "Hey, let's just put this behind us. I forgive you. It's not that big of a deal." 15 years of a relationship, a father-son relationship, a grandfather and a granddaughter. And do you think God is pleased with that? Absolutely not. He's not pleased with that at all. But are we guilty of the same? Maybe not for 15 years, but so often we think of ourselves as so holy and righteous and above everybody else that we can't look past somebody else's misdeed and forgive them for what they've done to us. We have a holier-than-thou mentality, and we do not want to forgive. And if that's our attitude, then don't expect forgiveness from your Heavenly Father. That is what Jesus is saying in Matthew 11:25. If you will stand and pray, forgive if you have anything against any man, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So we must forgive others. And that is going to directly affect our relationship with God. And I can tell you many times in my life, the harmony when you have that conflict and then you have the resolution, right? There is a great peace. There is a great harmony that happens when you have that feeling of everything is right in the world again today, right? And don't go a day without having that. If there's something going on, man, you know, this week I've been meeting with Donna as her mother gets ready to pass. And my dad came up with me on Friday to visit with her. And we were talking about, you know, when my dad gets ready to go. And we're sitting around and visiting, and he's there, and it's his time. I said, "You know, what would you want us to talk about when we're sitting there visiting? What would you want us to do?" And he said, "You know, I just want to sing songs, sing great hymns of the faith. And just talk about memories, the wonderful times that we had." And I said, "You know, that's exactly what I'd want to." But sometimes our attitudes, our relationships, our petty desires, pride, can get in the way of that. And could you imagine if somebody that you loved went to their grave without you having dealt with those situations? I urge you this morning, if there's somebody that you're in conflict with, get it right before it's too late. Okay, this next one I kind of wanted to skip over. But let's turn there. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them as men of knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, even as they which are heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers are not interrupted." You know, it all sounds great until that last part, right? Yeah, okay, give her the honor, yeah, bear with her in the knowledge, and that your prayers be not interrupted. Then it's like, oh, I better pay attention to that, right? Right? Because a lot of times, as men, we get involved in church, we get involved in work, right? And we want to do our duties, right? We want to fulfill our obligations to the church. We want to be involved in the ministry. And then we come home, and maybe we don't look at that as a ministry, right? Maybe we don't look at that as an obligation. We look at that more as, hey, this is the place where I can let my guard down, and maybe take instead of give, right? And there's nothing wrong with letting your guard down and being comfortable in your own home. But there is something wrong with taking and not giving at home. especially with your wife. And I know I'm guilty of that just as much as any other man here. So I ask God to help me with that as well. But that is something that can hinder our prayer life. And if you're in that position where you feel like maybe that's an area I need to work on, then it's not too late today to start working on it. And if you need help, hey, come visit with me. I'll help you. And we'll work on it together. And any of these other areas, if you say, Pastor, this morning you got me, right? You hit the nail on the head, and that hurt. Hey, don't let Satan tell you it's not that important. Don't let Satan say, hey, don't worry about it. It'll fix itself. It won't. It won't fix itself. You have to address it. And if you need help, that's what I'm here for. That's what we're here for, the body of Christ. So, not honoring your wife. You need to honor your wife. As a weaker vessel? No, as a precious, more precious vessel. It's not weaker in the sense of less worth. It's weaker in the sense of more worth. It's the one you wouldn't use. It's the china that you wouldn't use if anybody came over. It's too precious, right? It's like a sailboat, you know? You got those little remote control sailboats, you know, you can take them out on the water. But the one that you built yourself, that you spent hours and hours and hours building, you wouldn't put that out in the water. That's what your wife is supposed to be like. Is the weaker vessel? No. Is the more precious, the most important. You're supposed to put your wife first, right after God, then your wife, right? God, family, country. So, let's move on. So that's a hard one for me. The last one is lack of faith in God. And as you're turning to James chapter 1, 5 through 7, I was going to do a little bit differently this week. I was going to talk about priorities. And how a lot of times our priorities is what gets us in trouble, right? When we talk about becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Christ, we have a lot of other priorities that gets in the way of becoming a Christian, of being a true follower of God. And a lot of that comes down to our faith. Where are we at in our faith? Do we really believe that this is true? And I'm not talking about saying that was true, but I'm talking about when that pendulum's coming back and it's right, coming right for our face. Do we really believe that this is true? Because if we did, it would radically change our behavior. It would radically change how we treat other people. James 1, 5 through 7. Says this, if any of you lack of wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and reproacheth no man, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, and waver not. For he that wavers is like a wave that's of the sea, tossed with the wind and carried away. That's like that passage in Colossians 2:8, right? Tossed away by the philosophies of men. Does not have a firm grounding on who God is. He asks, but he doesn't believe that God will give it to him. He doesn't believe that God cares enough about me to deliver. He says, God, I need wisdom, but I don't believe you're going to give it to me. And if that's where you're at this morning, if you're lacking faith, we talked about that earlier. We need to trust in God, right? And sometimes it's the sin in our life that is keeping us from believing. And so this morning, do you lack faith Remember, the response is, I do believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the one that is worthy of our praise. It is worthy that our whole body should be aligned to praise you and to love you. Our heart, our soul, we give them to you, and we pray that you would use them for your glory and for your honor. And that this week, people would see that we are Christians and that we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's